You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People simply cannot understand why they do not have the answer to every question.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, when life does not make much sense and everything seems to be wrong, cut through those clouds with the light of the knowledge of your grace and glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Though we do not understand everything, help us to understand that you are God and we can depend upon you, even as we put our trust in your Son, Jesus, and in his atonement for our sins, in your gracious forgiveness of our sins, and in your faithful promise of eternal life to make real sense out of everything. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. It is just one fool thing after another, Reverend, and none of it makes any sense at all. That's what a friend of mine hears a lot because he is a hospital chaplain. That statement makes a lot of sense to him because he often feels the same way. Things don't make sense. Sometimes it is because you can't see clearly. At other times it is because you don't understand what you can see clearly. And at still other times you are confronted with the mysteries of life, of which St. Paul said in that great chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see as if in a mirror, only an enigma." A lot of people don't like to hear talk like that. Some of them are irreligious and some of them are very religious. They just don't like to hear that people cannot see, cannot understand, cannot fathom everything that happens in life. Irreligious people resent the fact that there are mysteries in life. Religious people simply cannot take the fact that they do not have the answer to every question. In fact, the irreligious often throw it up to me because I love God and tell people about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They say, "If you know God, why is it that you don't know everything?" St. Paul never claimed to know everything. He was pretty close to God. He was the one, you remember, who met Jesus Christ personally on the Damascus Road. On that day, Jesus Christ confronted him personally and called him by name. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" With unaccustomed humility, this man replied, "Who are you, Lord?" The answer came quickly and clearly. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Saul became Paul after he came to know Jesus Christ. And yet he did not know everything. He's the one who said about himself and about everyone along with him, "Now we see as if in a mirror an enigma." Just recently, a fine Christian man in the state of Michigan told me that his daughter attends sick people in the hospital. The father was somewhat surprised lately when his daughter told him seriously, "After looking at all of these sick people, I begin to wonder whether there is a gracious God." seeing all those people, weakened and aching all over, being endlessly jabbed with needles, and never quite overcoming the pain, why did this girl think about God? She had never questioned the existence of God before, and she'd always been a fine Christian girl, accepting everything the Bible says about God and about His Son, Jesus Christ. I think she still does. But now, surrounded by people lying for weeks at death's door, when even death, as one patient said, will make me feel more comfortable, the faith of this nurse came to a true test. Martin Luther once said that you don't have faith until it has been tested. That's when you begin to understand what faith is. Faith is not blind. It sees everything else that everybody else sees. It sees the suffering and the pain. It sees the injustice and the foolishness that are so characteristic of life. It sees all of that and has to come to grips with the ways of God. The writer of Psalm 73 said, "I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes said, "A wicked man prolongs his life in his evil doings." How do you explain things like that? It's not supposed to work that way. The righteous are supposed to be delivered from trouble, and the wicked are supposed to get into trouble instead. The fact is, it often works out the other way. But not always. Or at least not for the time being. Each year, shoplifters in the United States steal goods amounting to a total of $16 billion. Americans pay annually per family $200 more for the things they buy in 1 year's time because they are subsidizing shoplifters. That does not make sense to me. Each year, drunkards kill tens of thousands of people on the highways, yet drunken drivers often escape with their own lives. That does not make any sense to me. There are fine Christian girls who cannot find a good husband. Some of them are beautiful women, beautiful on the inside and beautiful on the outside. I've seen men and women like that who have had to endure broken marriages. That does not make any sense to me. Very many good parents have children who go astray and cause them untold grief. Millions of unborn babies throughout the world are destroyed through abortion. On the other hand, there are fine married couples who could provide a good and even excellent home for children, and yet in some cases are unable to have children of their own. Things like that don't make sense to me. The fact is that all of us have to see life as if we were looking in a mirror, and sometimes not a very good mirror at that. We see ourselves, but we don't see ourselves as we are. We see others, but we don't see them exactly as they are. We view the events of life, but we don't grasp them as clearly as they are. That's one reason things don't make sense. It's not the only reason, but it is one reason. You don't have to be in a hospital to know that 2 + 2 doesn't always make 4. Something can go wrong, and it often does. Just when you think you have something figured out, securely fixed and under control, something else comes along to change it all, to take it out of control, threatening to extinguish the flickering light at the end of the tunnel. We like to have things in life nailed down. Education, a job, a family. Actually, we like to have our lives nailed down. We like to know where we stand with one another. And, with even more insight, where we stand with God. If things do not go the way we want them to go, right away we slip into thoughts about God, that He must not be a gracious God, that He must not be a just God, that He must not be aware of everything that is going on, that God is probably getting old and needs to go on Medicare, that God maybe does not even exist at all. Do you know what that is? That's human. It's human sin at work. Sin is pride, and human pride is sin, pulling God down off His throne, as if we ever could, and then making Him dance to our tune. St. Paul said that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. We know more about Jesus Christ than about any personage in all of history. Yet who can say that he fully understands everything about Jesus Christ? Who can understand, for example, that Jesus Christ could be God and man at the same time? Who can understand or fully explain that the Son of the living God should die in order to atone for the sins of mankind? Put it all together, and you arrive at a great quality of God that is simply called love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Father let his Son die. More than that, the Father commanded his Son to die. The Father sent his Son to die. In that death of God's Son, there's redemption, even forgiveness of human sin. Who can understand that? Is that the way a gracious God does things? Is that justice? Well, it's God's way of doing things, and it is all love, from beginning to end. There are just some things we do not see clearly enough to understand. If we do see them clearly, we often do not understand even then. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who has stood at the elbow of the Lord in order to give him counsel on how to do things? Who has given to the Lord in order that he might receive something in return? For from God and through God and to God is everything. To him the glory, forever and ever. It was Paul who said that. He did not claim to see everything, and he did not claim to understand everything. One thing he knew Jesus Christ, and in Christ he knew God. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything in God's whole wide creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The human eye is a wonderful instrument. It's connected with the human brain, which is an even more wonderful instrument. In spite of all the human achievements of science, that connection between eye and brain is not fully understood even today. The range of wavelengths to which the eye is sensitive is not just 1/1000th of the whole, nor is it even 1/1,000,000,000th or even 1/1,000,000,000,000th of the whole. Actually, the percentage of wavelengths to which the human eye is sensitive is only 1/1,022,000,000,000. We had just better get used to the fact that the powers of mind and body, human as they are limited. There is much we do not know about the past. There is a good deal we do not know about the present. There's an awful lot we do not know about the future. Life is a lot more complicated than most people have ever dreamed. And here is someone who wants to question the wisdom of God. I'm not pointing a finger now. Once in a while, those thoughts occur to me too. They usually result in the question, why? Why did this young person have to die? Why did that good man have to suffer so much? Why are good intentions beaten back by a wave of stupidity or even by outright wickedness? Now listen to this. Plepomen gar arte diesoptru en enigmati. Do those words make sense to you? I can just hear someone say, that's all Greek to me. And he'd be absolutely right. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12 in the Greek language in which it was written. Those words do make sense, even though they may not make sense to you at the moment. In this case, I can tell you what the words mean. Even those words don't tell us everything about the meaning of life. They say, now, almost as if we were looking into a mirror, but not a very good mirror at that, we see only an enigma. The apostle added, but then shall we see face to face. That's the secret. Then, face to face. It is not that things cannot be understood, but that we so often do not understand them, even when we think we see them clearly. What then can we see? What can we understand? There is one who is not a riddle, not an enigma. Even though you cannot understand everything about him and explain everything about him, you certainly can know him. You can know more about him than you ever would have imagined. You can listen to him talk. You can watch him walk. You can see him die. And you can sense the thrill of the tomb from which the stone has been rolled away, because he rose from the dead. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. This you can know about him. He died for you. God raised him from the dead. He lives for you, to give you forgiveness for the past and hope for the future. He doesn't try to explain everything to you, but he does give you life in all its fullness. This is no riddle. It is not an enigma. There's a good deal of the mystery of life in it all, but the truth is there, as plain as the nose on your face. Christ died for your sins, as the Scripture said he would. He was buried as we are buried, and he was raised from the dead as the Scripture said he would be. That's the truth, and it is the heart of real life everywhere. As St. Paul said, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. It's when you see and know Christ that you begin to understand. Life does not always smile on you, but it did not always smile on him either. Christ has something to say because he had something to do for everyone. He died for us all, that we might live by faith in him, with love toward God and toward one another, as only God gives love to people. Can't figure it out, Reverend. Never smoked or drank, worked hard, did my best, and now my doc tells me I have cancer. I wish I could tell you how many times I've heard things like that from people, and I can understand why they feel that way. They expect their piety to be rewarded. Often it is, but not always in the way you would expect. We are saved, you and I, not by our piety or by anything we do, but solely and alone by the grace of God, which is so great that it's simply unfathomable. You can never get to the bottom of it. So how can you understand everything that's going on when you can never get all the way to the bottom of it? Your car gets hit on the parking lot and gives you one more expense you don't need. The store's already closed when you have nothing in the house for supper. You rip your favorite sweater. You lose the only set of keys you have. You have your first day off in weeks, and it rains. Life keeps pouring it on without let-up. St. Paul and all the saints experienced the same thing. Love and trust in God. They learned to trust in God, and in that trust to accept his forgiveness and to appreciate life as it is given. That's really what makes saints. It's not that saints are not sinners, nor that they understand everything. They trust in God, and life begins to make sense. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now we see as in a dim mirror an enigma, but then shall we see face to face. Then shall we know, even as also we are known. That's the way it is in Christ, my friend. In the end, God will balance the scales. He always has the last word. Every wrong will be righted, and it will be clear to all that justice has prevailed. That's the way it will be. In that day, everything will become apparent. God's power and justice are always matched by his mercy and love. He's a gracious God, kind and compassionate, long-suffering and patient, putting up with people and with their complaints. Then it will become clear. Now we know in part, but then shall we know, even as we are known. In Christ, you will know what only can be known in Christ. Know him now and the power of his resurrection. Hang on to him by faith and have the life, even now, that can truly be called everlasting. There are all kinds of stuff that you do not understand. And there are days when life does not make sense. But in all these things, have complete victory now through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.
Listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.